This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I am your host, Tim Murray. Just a reminder, three episodes every week. The early week episode with Adam Burke, some reactions, overview of what's going on, midweek football. The Wednesdays with Wes, we talk some situational handicapping, and then the Thursday episode with Matt Humans to break down the full card. Adam Burke is with me. Follow him on Twitter at Skating Tripods. Read all of his work up at vsin.com. Midweek write-ups, updated power ratings, college basketball. I have a PSA to start the show, Adam. But before I do that, I want to say hello to you, sir. How was T-Mobile Arena on Monday night for a little college basketball?
Hey, what's up, buddy? It was interesting. So my wife is from South Carolina, from the Columbia area. So, you know, getting a chance to see Dawn Staley's team in person was a lot of fun. And then, of course, I'm from Ohio, so I get to see Ohio State taking on Texas in the nightcap. And really, really good performance from Diebler's crew there. Shot well from the outside, looked really, really crisp on offense. A lot of, you know, ball movement up top, a lot of open looks, a lot of contested looks they made too. But they looked pretty interesting. And, you know, I'm kind of in college basketball mode now because early in the season, you know, the market's pretty soft. So I think there's some opportunities to get in there and make some money. But yeah, it was fun. And honestly, I mean, South Carolina fans turned out. There was a friends and family section of Michigan fans, and that was it. And a lot of South Carolina people. So it was cool. It was fun. It was a good way to start the college basketball season. But I know we're talking college football here.
Good couple days for the Burke household with Ohio State beating Penn State, then getting an upset win in hoops on Monday night in South Carolina. The women just always win. I know they didn't cover, and quite the win for over Texas A&M. We'll get to that. We'll get to the aftermath of that. But here's my PSA and my apology to the Fighting Wes Reynolds. At some point, they're not going to cover a game. And when that happens, I will not be on the other side. I have tried to get in front of this wagon too many damn times, whether it was when they played Maryland, lost the turnover battle by four, still won and covered, whether it was the Washington game, or whether it was Michigan State last weekend. This team defies any logic. They're a 14-point favorite this week against Michigan. I am certainly tempted, knowing my nature, to take the Wolverines, but I am going to resist because, you know, you got to learn. Adam, they didn't cover week one against Florida International because, you know, the Fighting Pitbulls are going to fight. 31-7 was the final score August 31st as a 25.5-point favorite. Let's run through the next eight games for the Fighting Kirk Cignettis. 77-3 win over Western Illinois as a 45-point favorite. That's a cover margin of 29. Beat UCLA on the road 42-13 as a 4-point favorite. That's a cover margin of 25. Beat the Fighting Biff Pogies of Charlotte 52-14 as a 28.5-point favorite. Cover margin of 9.5. Beat Maryland, as I mentioned, at home as a 7.5-point favorite. We're minus 4 on the turnover margin that day. Won 42-28. That's a cover margin of 6.5. Beat Northwestern on the makeshift football field as a 13-point favorite, 41-24, cover margin of 4. Then the ass whoopings began. 56-7 over Nebraska as a 6.5-point favorite, cover margin of 42.5. 31-17 with a backup quarterback against Washington as a 5.5-point favorite, cover margin of 8.5. Down 10-0 to Michigan State, 47 unanswered as a 7.5-point favorite on the road, covering by 39.5 points in that one. That is an average of 20.6 points per game, beating the spread since they didn't cover in week one. My goodness, this team is an absolute anomaly. We can't figure them out. And credit to anybody out there. Apparently, all you have to do in sports gambling is bet on Indiana, the Commanders, and the Lions, and you could be building the biggest house that ever existed.
Yeah, I mean, it's to say it's impressive is an understatement. I mean, you know, this is an offense that's been humming right along. I mean, they scored 31 points against Washington, 31 against FIU, and they're in the 40s or higher in every other game. So know, we'll see what they do against Michigan here. I think it's going to be kind of interesting to watch because Michigan's defense is still talented. I mean, the offense is god awful. I mean, Davis Warren's not the answer. Alex Orji's not the answer. Jack Tuttle wasn't the answer. You know, I don't know if maybe they could roll JJ McCarthy out there in a wheelchair or something and maybe he'll play better. I don't know, but I'm curious to see what they do this week because here's the one knock I would say about Indiana. And it's kind of interesting because you and I were talking about Gonzaga and what they did to Baylor last night at the start of the show and people bitch and moan that Gonzaga doesn't play anybody. Well, they played somebody last night and they gave him an ass whooping. Indiana has not played a very talented team yet, except for maybe Washington. And Washington, of course, lost a whole hell of a lot from last season. So I'm curious to see what they do against a team that's really athletic, right? I mean, they did play Washington without Rourke. They did get outgained by 6 yards in that one, but did, of course, you know, wind up leaning on them. They ran the ball 52 times, win that game by 2 touchdowns. But they haven't played a talented team yet. What happens when they play a talented team this week and next week? And Michigan is still very talented. They don't have a quarterback, but they're still a very talented team in a lot of other areas. So that's kind of what I'm waiting to see from Indiana, where I think structurally they're extremely sound. Kurt Cignetti's obviously a great coach, a great game planner. He's doing phenomenal work in terms of film study and all of that here in his first year in the Big Ten. But what happens when they play a talented team? We'll finally find that out this week.
Strength of schedule, 103, but strength of record, 7 for Indiana. So we will see. And, you know, we're recording this on Tuesday morning. A lot of curiosity for me, what it looks like in the first rankings. What do they do with Indiana? What do they do with BYU? What do they do with Boise State? What do they do with SMU? There's a lot of intrigue there, you know, that we can get to. But, you know, coming off of this weekend where we once again saw mayhem, Texas Tech 13.5-point dog beats Iowa State in the slop 23-22. We talked about this game and the fired coach bump gave Rice a nice win as a 12.5-point dog over Navy 24-10. Houston on the road beat Kansas State, a disastrous performance by K-State and a disastrous bet by me on Thursday as I took Kansas State. I liked the schedule. I thought they would get revenge against BYU. Not the case. Maybe they still could get there. Unlikely. Hawaii comes back from 13 down in the fourth quarter. The Fighting Timmy Changs fighting for that win total, baby. Now up to 4 wins on the year for the Bows. 11.5-point dog. And then Louisville, you know, we talked about it on the podcast on Thursday and eventually on Saturday on the VSiN College Football Tailgate Show. I did get to the window on Louisville and put it up on our picks page, but you know, this was a Louisville team that had been battle-tested. Clemson had not been, and they went down there and they beat them up pretty good. So 5 double-digit dogs won outright on Saturday, and you know, that just has kind of been the theme of this college football season. So I bring that up, Adam, to ask this question. Who right now in college football can you trust? I think I can trust Oregon. Even though Tez Johnson dealing with an injury, that's certainly a concern, not expected to be season ending. Like Georgia this weekend, only a 2.5-point favorite on the road at Ole Miss. Carson Beck, I tweeted out on Saturday watching that game against Florida. I'm like, my God, this guy loves throwing interceptions. Ohio State, I'll get your thoughts on them. I think I can trust them to an extent. Like who in college football can we trust? And I think that's a good thing, to be honest. I really do. I think it's a good thing for us betters. And I also think it's a good thing from an entertainment standpoint heading into the first ever 12-team playoff.
Well, I think we can trust Kent State because they suck every week. I think we could probably throw UTEP in that mix for the most part.
Isn't UTEP a favorite this week against Kennesaw State?
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Leave it to you to go. I trust these teams.
I trust Akron to find a way to screw things up.
You trust Arizona to be crappy.
Oh my God,
Arizona! By the way, can I just real quickly jump in because I want to give the flowers to JVT first and foremost, but also humans. They were both on the. Are we sure that Brent Brennan's a good coach? And they got all this love preseason. I didn't fall for it. I didn't fade it, though. I know there were some people who did fade the Arizona train out there. They are, after Air Force got the cover, they are now the worst cover team in the nation.
Yeah. Look, I mean, I get it. That's the thing, right? There are a lot of teams you can trust to be bad. Are there teams you can trust to, you know, live up to expectation that are good? It's a really big ask right now. You know what? I wanted to say SMU, but the Duke game was, again, they were -6 in turnover margin and still found a way to win it. But I mean, they pummeled a pretty decent Pitt team last week. So SMU is a really interesting team, I think, in a variety of ways. But yeah, I mean, in terms of who you can trust, Army, right? I mean, if Bryson Daly's healthy, Army.
Well, Army, you trust them to what? Like, trust them to?
I mean, I trust them to win and cover. I mean, if you're talking about teams
like
trust,
are they going to do it against a team? You just mentioned Indiana. Is Army going to do it against a team with a pulse, aka Notre Dame, at Yankee Stadium, November 23rd?
I mean, they might cover. I this week against North Texas, I think it's a really interesting test for them, because North Texas actually has the efficiency to put up points with their limited number of drives.
And here's the thing, too. We're never going to know. You know, I was on air on Saturday, and you started to hear kind of whispers like Bryson Daly might be out. You started to see the market crash, and then we get the news that he's out. Look, we don't know if he's in or out, and this team, as we've seen with service academies for many, many years, if they lose a stud quarterback, it's usually a pretty significant drop-off. Now, they were able to get the win against Air Force. They didn't get the cover, and I watched that entire game because I had Air Force, and Army defensively against a inept offensive Air Force was solid, but that offense was not humming. And now you could say it's a service academy game and Air Force is familiar with their offense. That's fair. But yeah, I'm curious about this weekend, especially if Bryson Daly does not play. Right now, market around 5.5-6 in favor of the Black Knights on the road down in Denton.
I guess Oregon is the only team that I would say at present. I mean, but again, they're maybe a 3 seconds on the clock away from potentially losing to Ohio State.
Yeah.
I mean, Ohio State would have at least had an attempt. Now, of course, you know, game winning field goal attempts have not really gone great for Ohio State, but, you know, I mean, fielding would have had a shot. Well, so,
and here's the thing, too. I mean, what's going to be fascinating to discuss is, okay, let's look at Oregon. They're going to be in the Big Ten championship game. More than likely, it'll be against Ohio State, assuming Ohio State beats Indiana November 23rd, which they will be a favor to do so, not a guarantee. And I just did my whole dissertation on Indiana, not betting against them, but I believe Ohio State will win that game. I think Ohio State will get a victory in the rematch, and then Oregon probably slides into the number 5 spot. And I know I'm getting way ahead of myself, but now you're looking at Oregon. And I know you're going to want the bye because you have to quickly turn around. But if you're playing the Big 12 champion in the first round, let's just say, for argument's sake, Colorado, which would be kind of fun considering last year's game, Oregon-Colorado. Then you play Boise State in a rematch. Like, the 5 seed is actually pretty interesting this year if it is indeed Big 12 champion and then maybe the Group of 5 champion, a.k.a. Boise, in the first 2 rounds.
Yeah, you know, it's the thing that makes this really challenging, I think, just kind of overall with college football. And maybe, you know, I feel like I fall victim to recency bias with this on an annual basis, but, like, everyone's inconsistent, right? Like, I don't know from week to week what I'm going to get out of these teams, right? I mean, Ole Miss may very well go out.
Indiana's not inconsistent.
No, but they haven't played anybody.
I know. I'm like, just I feel like, so, I haven't given them their flowers, so I'm just going to continue to give them their rightful flowers.
It's remarkable. Like, Alabama beats Georgia, loses to Vanderbilt, right? Barely beats South Carolina, and then loses to a Tennessee team that, like, can't score in SEC play.
Vanderbilt, a.k.a. the owner of Hugh Freeze, or Diego Pavia, now 3-0 straight up against Hugh Freeze.
I, you know, it's been really hard from a power rating standpoint. Honestly, this season has pissed me off more than any other from a power rating standpoint, just because I feel like I'm just playing pinball with these teams and just moving them back and forth. But like Ole Miss, you know, losing at LSU by three is what it is. I mean, what they did to Arkansas last week was very impressive, but losing at home to Kentucky, like, and then Kentucky goes out and they've lost four in a row and looked pretty much awful in every one of those games. Like, there's almost no predictability to college football this season in some of these major conferences. So, I mean, ultimately, yeah, I could sit here and say I trust Oregon, but do I trust Oregon to beat, you know, good teams in a row in December and January? No, maybe not.
You know, to quote the award-winning sitcom Full House's Open, whatever happened to predictability, you know? Whatever happened to that?
It's a good reference.
All right. I don't know if we answered the question, because I think it's a fair question. I don't know who to trust. And I thought you took it at an interesting angle of teams you could trust from a crappy standpoint. I want to talk about your Buckeyes. They are now the favorite to win the national championship at DraftKings at plus 330, followed by Oregon and Georgia at plus 425. What did you make of the victory over Penn State? And was that more an indictment on Penn State, or does Ohio State deserve their flowers for going into Columbus, or excuse me, going into Happy Valley and getting that win over Penn State?
Well, I think the score is a little bit misleading in that game, because Ohio State was clearly better. Clearly better. I mean, there were some really weird plays in that game. A lot of reviews that were kind of 50-50 calls, stuff like that. You know, Will Howard missed some throws, though. And I know he had the fumble going in, and, you know, those things happen. But, man, he missed the Carnell Tate throw where he was wide open. You know, but I think the one nice thing coming out of that game is that they may have found an offensive line combination to trust. Because I think that Chip Kelly has zero trust in this offensive line, which is why they've played so much of a horizontal game, so much of a side-to-side game. They're not taking shots down the field. And they have guys like Brandon Innes and Carnell Tate that can get open, let alone Jeremiah Smith and Emeka Egbuka. So I would hope that over the next couple of games against Purdue and Northwestern, and obviously we'll see how bad the weather is in that game against Northwestern, like, I would hope they start taking some shots down the field to get Will Howard more comfortable with those throws, because you're going to have to take shots like that against the teams that they're going to play in the college football playoff, assuming they make it, assuming they don't screw up here the rest of the way. So that's what I want to see out of Ohio State. But I thought they were easily the more physical team at the point of attack. I know Drew Aller was kind of compromised, but the only positive plays Penn State had were his runs early on in that game. I mean, that was a masterclass from Jim Knowles in the defense. So it was a great sign. And I had a conversation with our own Tyler Shoemaker throughout the course of the game. You know, how good is Penn State, right? They were a top five team, but it's kind of in number only, right? According to the rankings, because of everything else that's happened. I kind of suggested that they're probably a top 10 team. He called them a top five team. Mm. We were trying to come up with how many teams we think are better than Penn State. I came up with about seven or eight, I think. So I'm kind of curious about that, right? How good is Penn State? Because the Buckeyes look really good. But how good is Penn State? I don't know. And obviously we know James Franklin can't beat Penn State or can't beat Ohio State or Michigan. So I don't know. But it was refreshing to see them look the way that they did. Even if the final score doesn't really indicate it, they clearly looked like the better team there.
James Franklin has a little Brian Kelly gene in him. And what I mean by that is he's going to win the games that he's supposed to win. And they did that, and they've done that. And they're going to go, I would be surprised, even though Minnesota on the road in late November is going to be tricky. But I would be surprised if they don't finish up 11-1 and they'll be in the playoff. And this was the team that probably was the happiest about the playoff expansion. But whether they're on the road or on at home in the first round of the playoff, you know, everything's matchup based, but, like, you know, as a Notre Dame fan, if Notre Dame, I would much rather play Penn State than Ole Miss, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I don't think Penn State can really do much offensively. Now, they're a good defensive team, Look, if Notre Dame and Penn State play in the first round, take the under. That's going to be a very, you would think, low scoring game. But, you know, but I think I give a lot of credit to Ohio State, and I was impressed, especially by the defense. I thought Andy Coltonicki, I don't want to sit, you know, make a hot take here, but like, what was that play calling? You got a big guy running in motion. Like, what are we doing? Just try to jam it up the middle. You know, I heard, I think it was Stanford Steve say it on his podcast, or maybe it was Van Pelt. It was like, just give the damn ball to Tyler Warren on a direct snap and let him rumble into the end zone from the 1 yard line. Like, that play calling from the one was an absolute embarrassment. But let me flip it to Ohio State. To get the ball back at the 1 yard line with all the concerns about the offensive line, Adam, and to just run it down their throat and eliminate the clock, I thought that was really impressive by the Buckeyes. And I came away, while I would say I have serious concerns about Penn State and how legitimate they are as a power, I came away saying, man, Ohio State is one, you know, is a slide away, a second slide away from being undefeated, and this is the unquestioned number one team in the country, and the betting market, I think, reflects that. So, look, Ohio State, very impressive to me in that victory, and I think they win the Big Ten. I think they have a bye, and I think there's a good chance they're the one seed when it's all said and done at the end of the regular season.
You know, the thing that, and, you know, when I was texting with Tyler during the game, who, full disclosure, is an Ohio State fan too, I was kind of speaking in a negative way about the Buckeyes, in that they feel like the Jim Tressel Buckeyes to me right now. They are not the Urban Meyer Buckeyes. They clearly don't have, you know, that kind of talent at the quarterback position. But if they can be physical, if they can run the football, they play good defense. Like, they feel to me more like the Jim Tressel Buckeyes. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, Jim Tressel was wildly successful, right? They won a national championship with him. Is that style of play something that's going to match up well in this expanded college football playoff, where they can win by controlling the clock, playing defense? Jeremiah Smith makes a catch here and there. You know, I mean, Chip Kelly, he called a great game against Penn State. They didn't put up eye-popping numbers, but he called a great game. They feel more Tressel-esque to me. And like I said, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I was talking about it as if it was a bad thing because they keep getting generational wide receivers and, like, they're probably not maximizing their potential. But at the same time, I mean, this is a team that has the feel of being able to win close games, as much as I don't trust Ryan Day. Like, they didn't do it against Oregon, obviously, but I don't know. I just, there's some sort of different dynamic about this Buckeyes team going forward. And look, it makes sense that they're favored to win the national championship, because look at the line against Oregon. They're going to be a favorite in a neutral site game for the Big 12 or for the Big 10 championship, as long as they get through Indiana. And if they lose to Michigan, I swear to God, I will personally go fire Ryan Day myself, even though I don't have the authority to do
it. I'm going to go on a limb. I'm going to say you're all right. I think you're going to
They should win that game by a million. Like, that's a, you know, why'd you go for two? Because I couldn't go for three. Like, I'd go for two every touchdown you score in that game.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, I've got some questions regarding the G5, the Heisman, and a question about a former power and whether or not they're going to reach a bowl game. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. Once again, the website, forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
All right, we're back. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Please continue to rate, review, and subscribe. I saw a great review come in the other day, which was much appreciated. So continue those five-star reviews. It does help. You know the drill.
So those checks are clearing? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the amount of people I'm bribing, it's impressive right now. This was from Mikey P. on the old iTunes. Tim, Adam, Matt, and Wes are all excellent analysts and provide such useful information to help see the board on Saturday more clearly. Look at that. He went on and on. Much appreciated, Mikey. And Mikey is also the name of my dad. So I don't know if...
Do you call your dad Mikey?
I do. Yeah. No.
Really?
Before we jump into some other nuggets to wrap up the podcast, you are so good at letting the people know what's going on over at VSiN, as we've got lots and lots going on. We've got the new app, the VSiN Watch app, free. You could watch all of our shows. You could watch on demand. It's an awesome app. I was thumbing through it over the weekend as well. Wherever you get your app applications, the Google Store or Apple Store, whatever it may be. But what else we got going over at VSiN.com?
Well, it's college basketball season. So I'm doing a daily college basketball best bets article Monday through Saturday. Greg Peterson is giving his favorite plays overnight. So make sure you check that out as well. Also, you know, your co-host there on VSiN Primetime, Jonathan Von Tobel, he's not doing the daily NBA best bets because, I mean, you guys are on the air, right? It's hard to follow the games as they're going on. It's hard to just try to play catch up through box scores and all of that. So instead, on Mondays and Fridays, JVT is going to talk about some broader topics, maybe some macro trends, some injuries and how they impact player prop markets, stuff like that. So he dropped his first one here on Monday about RJ Barrett and Cade Cunningham and the way that they're playing right now for their respective teams. So very excited about that feature. You know, we give out a lot of picks with our VSiN.com content, and to do something that's not just giving out picks and kind of more analysis to help you decide for yourself, you know, if you want to follow some of these things about individual players or whatever JVT comes up with, I get a nice change of pace. So check that out over at VSiN.com as well. And look, I mean, college basketball betting guide, I think, is still relevant. And also we got more specials coming up this month, Black Friday special, not that far away. So you know, good time to head over to VSiN.com and check it all out.
Maction going on this week, starting up. We will hit on a Wednesday game that I'm very intrigued by to close out the podcast. All right, some quick hitters. G5, right now at DraftKings, Boise State is -250 to make the college football playoff. They were -$2 last week. Tulane has gone down to +350. They are now the betting favorite to win the American Athletic Conference, which I think is fair. Army at around +110. To me, Adam, I don't think there is a bet to be made in the G5. You mentioned last week that Boise State at -$2 could be worth a look. Well, based off of the line movement, there is value on -$2. I need to know about Bryson Daly before I can trust Army. I think Tulane is Tulane to me is the best bet if you think Boise State stubs their toe. But if they don't stub their toe, and look, Colorado State ain't beating Boise State. They're going to get absolutely dump trucked if Colorado State runs the table and goes undefeated in the Mountain West. And they won last week rather convincingly. They do have a trip to Fresno, I think, in 2 weeks. But if Colorado State shows up in the Mountain West Championship, don't even turn it on. Boise State's going to obliterate them. The only team in my eyes that has a chance to go up to the Smurf Turf and trip up Boise would be UNLV. You got to remember, too, you have to win your championship in order to get in as a Group of Five team or just be ranked in the top 12. But the auto bid is for the conference champ. So is there any reason to look at anyone else other than Boise, in your opinion?
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, it's just one of those things where there's such a massive favorite in every game. And let's see, what would I have them? 80. I mean, I'm going to have them a 20-point favorite over Colorado State. If that's the if that's the Mountain West Championship game. So
I have no 20, dog
20 in the point or higher favorite in every game the rest of the way.
I have no dog in the fight, but as a football fan and someone who went to the UNLV game just a couple weeks ago, I really would like to see UNLV and Boise play again. That would be the best game in that conference. Like, that would not be entertaining if it's Colorado State, but you can't fault them if they go undefeated and you put, you know, whoever out is out in front of you. But yeah, I mean, the Tulane one, I mentioned it on the tailgate show a couple weeks ago. They were like 8-1 to make the playoff. Thought that was maybe worth a sprinkle, but at this point at plus 350, it feels like the value's been sucked out. I do think Tulane and Army, if that is the AAC championship game, Tulane still has to play on the road at Navy and play Memphis, Memphis losing to UTSA, yikes, this past weekend. But if Tulane does what we think they'll do in those remaining games, Army-Tulane could be a pretty fun AAC championship game.
I got to say, UTSA is low-key playing really, really well. I know they had a god-awful fourth quarter against Tulsa and blew that game. They lost 46-45. I know they lost to Rice earlier in East Carolina.
A Tulsa team who just got boat raced by UAB.
Yeah, UTSA, like, they're figuring it out with the quarterback. Owen McCown is having a monster season for them. 20-4 touchdown interception ratio. He's up around 2,400 yards now. I'm curious to see what happens with UTSA because they play North Texas at home. They have four wins, by the way. North Texas at home, Temple at home, and then they're on the road at Army. It would be a pretty ridiculous upset, but something tells me UTSA is live in that game on November 30th.
Like it. All right, quick update on the Heisman Trophy. Cam Ward is now your favorite. He's around 2-1 at most shops. Travis Hunter became the favorite on Friday. And how about Travis Hunter? You think he wants to win the Heisman Trophy? He showed up at College Game Day in State College for an interview. It feels like right now, we talked about it, and I don't want to go too deep on the Heisman. It does feel like to me it's a three-man race and kind of like, I said last week it was a 3.5-man race with Jenty on the periphery. And I know you kind of made your point why Dylan Gabriel won't win it. It does feel like Dylan Gabriel, even as someone who has an 18-1 ticket on Gabriel, it feels like he's just up there because Oregon's number one. To me, it sort of feels like it's shaping up to be Ward versus Hunter down the stretch here.
Well, you know, they were talking about it a lot on that Kansas State and Houston broadcast as Houston was pulling the upset over Kansas State. Last weekend could not have gone better for Colorado.
100%.
Which also means it could not have gone better for Travis Hunter. Because if Colorado gets themselves into the playoff, and it's still going to be a bit of a process for them to be able to do that, but if Colorado can get themselves into the playoff, I mean, Cam Ward is awesome. Right. I mean, Miami's not undefeated if they don't have Cam Ward. But Colorado is not nearly as good as they are without Travis Hunter. And I could certainly say the same thing about Miami as well. But they were going to get a transfer quarterback no matter what. Right. It just so happened to be Cam Ward, who's putting up monstrous numbers. But I think people are going to look at this and say, man, like after watching Colorado last year with how scrutinized of a team they were, to see them make the college football playoff by winning the Big 12. I think it's going to put Travis Hunter over the top in the Heisman race. So that's kind of the thing that you're looking at, I guess. But then you can also look at it as, okay, well, you know, Colorado's 2-1 to win the play or to make the college football playoff. Hunter's plus 220 to win the Heisman. Do you just take Colorado in the event that Cam Ward wins the Heisman no matter what?
So I I'm curious your thoughts on this. I don't think Colorado can make the playoff unless they win the Big 12. They have two losses. They've got one in Nebraska that looks worse and worse by the week. I think they have to win the Big 12 in order to get into the playoff. I don't think they've done enough to
warrant them. No, I agree with that.
So my reason I bring that up, they're plus 350 to win the Big 12.
Right.
So I'd much rather bet them to win the Big 12 as opposed to 2-1. Is there a chance at 10-2 Colorado could get into the playoff? I suppose, but like I said, the Nebraska loss will be held against them. They don't have a great win on their ledger. None of these final four games are really all that impressive when you look at Texas Tech, Utah, at Kansas, and Oklahoma State, who is now 0-6 in the Big 12, which is just stunning. So I think if you're looking to get involved in Colorado, I think there's an interesting way to look at it. And me personally, I'm not making this bet, but if you're looking to get involved in Colorado, if you think they're going to make the playoff, just bet them to win the conference, because I would be surprised if they got in as a non-Big 12 champion.
No, that's a good call. Yeah, I hadn't gotten to that tab yet looking at DraftKings, but that's a really good call, because yeah, if they win the Big 12, they're in the playoff. That's the only route for them. So that's a good call by you.
All right, last one before we hit.
By the way, I gotta say this real quick.
Yeah.
First of all, I am flabbergasted that Duke didn't cover last week.
Oh my God!
Like, I thought they had a chance to maybe win the game, and then Manny Diaz's team just completely collapsed. But I will say this, and I'm curious to see how this kind of plays out going forward. So Mario Cristobal and Shannon Dawson still had Cam Ward in that game when they were up by 22.
And he got blasted.
He got smoked on a blindside blitz. And I'm just thinking, like, if you want to talk about fireable offenses, like, if he doesn't get up from that hit, oh my God. Like, you want to send a message to Manny Diaz, or you want to, you know, pad a stat for Cam Ward, like, and then of course the play before that, they ran the ball right in the middle of the line anyway. Just what an asinine decision. Like, they are so lucky he got up from that blindside blitz.
And now we're looking at a pretty intriguing ACC championship, more than likely, with Miami taking on SMU after Clemson got debacled by
the hell was that from Louisville. Clemson last week.
I mean, you know, a lot of people mentioned it, and I started to come around on it. I didn't give it out on Thursday. We talked about it because Louisville had gone 0-5 ATS in their last five games dating back to the Notre Dame game, but they had been tested. They had played Notre Dame. They had played Miami. They had played SMU, and Clemson had not. Clemson's schedule had been, since Georgia, very, very weak, and they got their ass kicked. Clemson did, which I'm sure our guy Tyler Shoemaker, that did not he did not lose any sleep over that one. Is Nebraska going to make a bowl game? So Nebraska loses to UCLA at home on Saturday, a week removed, and I should have picked this one out as a letdown spot, a week removed from almost beating Ohio State. And now I look at this schedule. They've got a bye this week. Nebraska's 5-3. They go to the Coliseum. USC just made a quarterback change. They're going to the UNLV transfer, Jaden Maiava. Then they play Wisconsin, who prior to this past weekend's butt-whipping at the hands of Iowa, looked like they had been getting better. And then they finish up the season at Iowa. I mean, they're definitely a favorite to make the playoff, or to make a bowl game, but this would be the most Nebraska thing ever if they get out to a 5-1 start to the year and miss out on a bowl game.
I mean, I would say they're not a favorite to make a bowl game. I have a 10-point dog against USC, and of course, we'll see what happens with the Maiava switch. I have a 5-point home dog to Wisconsin and then 12-point dog to Iowa. So I have a dog in all three games and a pretty clear dog at that. I don't think they'll actually be a 5-point dog against Wisconsin at home. Especially because Wisconsin, just, you really never know what you're going to get from them week in and week out. And I don't think Nebraska makes one. I think they lose all three of these games here. And, you know, I mean,
they haven't made a bowl game. Do you know the last bowl game they made? It was the 2016 Music City Bowl. And they lost to Tennessee 38-24. They have not made a bowl game since 2016.
Yeah, that's not ideal.
Mike Riley was in his second year as the head coach.
By the way, let's throw this PSA out there right now, because we're not that far away from, you know, this week you don't really hear too much about it. Maybe not as much next week. But I just want to throw this out there now that we're into November. Do not overpay for a team in a must-win situation to make a bowl game. If they were any good, they'd already be bowl eligible. So you know, when we get to that point in the final couple weeks of the regular season, and people are like, oh, they have five wins, they have to win. Bullshit. They don't have to win. They're not that good of a team, which is why they're maybe going to make a bowl game at 6-6. So just want to plant that seed now, because I'm going to keep going back to it on the remaining episodes of this podcast this month, at least the ones that I do. Don't overpay for a five-win team because, oh, bowl eligibility is on the line. They're just not that good of a team.
There is one team that I do think is in an interesting spot this week. Speaking of bowl eligibility, San Jose State is 5-3. They go to Oregon State, who Oregon State has kind of fallen off here. San Jose State's coming off a bye, as is Oregon State too. But the next three opponents for the Spartans in year one of Coach Ken, which it would be a pretty big accomplishment if they made a bowl game, especially with the roster turnover that they had. They play Boise, they play UNLV, and then they finish up against Stanford, who's a disaster, and they should be able to beat Stanford. But I kind of like San Jose State this week, coming off a bye, catching three on the road up in Corvallis. It's not going to be a night game. It's not going to be weird or anything like that. So I do think San Jose State, from a situational spot, I kind of like them this week on the road at Oregon State to get to that sixth win. But I hear what you're saying.
I mean, let's play the other side of that coin, right? Oregon State plays San Jose State and Air Force. They have four wins.
Yep.
And then they finish with Washington State and Boise State. So
they need it too.
Yeah, they badly need it too.
Both coming off byes. Oregon State's last handful of games, they've lost three in a row. By the way, they beat Colorado State, who could represent the Mountain West in the Mountain West Championship game. So, yeah, that'll be an interesting one up in Corvallis. I think that's on the old CW. So get ready for
it still amazes me that college football is on the CW.
I will say the game this past Saturday, Syracuse's comeback against who do they come back and beat? Oh, my God. Why am I having such a brain fart here? Oh, they came back and beat Virginia Tech. That's right.
Yeah. Without Kyron Drones.
Yes.
And the running back got hurt in the first half, too.
And, yeah, that was.
I haven't known what to do with Syracuse all year long. Like, they play some of the most ridiculous games.
I bet them on Saturday, and I didn't feel like I was on the right side. They won, and they covered, obviously, as a four-point home dog, but I didn't feel like I was on the right side of that one. That was a wacky game on the CW.
So a couple of things I want to mention here at the risk of running a little bit long. For those who are listening day of, two really bad weather games here in the Mid-American Conference on Tuesday night, Bowling Green, Central Michigan, Miami of Ohio, Ball State, wind and rain in both games, both totals coming down. The Central Michigan Bowling Green total dropping 4.5 points as of when we're recording. So it may continue to go down. But now that we're into midweek action, the Wednesday games aren't impacted by weather. But now that we're into midweek action, again, Ohio native here, right? The weather is going to start to suck in the state of Ohio and in a lot of places. So definitely make sure that you're not taking the weather forecast for granted and just assuming that, you know, whatever, it's going to be cloudy and 45. And it could be, but it's not always going to be. So now is the time of the year where weather really plays a big factor. And again, with these Tuesday, Wednesday games, you can get in front of some totals movement here on these MACtion games. So definitely something you want to keep in mind.
All right, before we get out of here, there are MACtion games. And the one that intrigues me the most is on Wednesday night, we've got Northern Illinois at Western Michigan. And Northern Illinois, who, of course, beat Notre Dame, biggest upset of the college football season, 28-point dog at Notre Dame. They are 2-4 since then. 4-4 overall are the Huskies. I believe 1-3 in the MAC. And Western Michigan is undefeated in MAC play. But yet the Huskies are a road favorite here. I'm curious your thoughts on this one, because I kind of like Northern Illinois in this spot against Western Michigan.
Yeah, so this is, and I wrote up all these games over at VSiN.com. This is easily the most intriguing line of the week for a MAC game and maybe even a group of five game in general. Because as you just mentioned, Western Michigan, they're 4-0 in conference play. They are, what was it here? They're -130 to make the conference championship game because of the start that they're off to. And as you mentioned, they're a home dog here in Kalamazoo to Northern Illinois. Now they have played Ball State, Akron, Buffalo, and Kent State, who are the four lowest power rated teams for me in the Mid-American Conference. So they're 4-0. They've played, I mean, the Akron game was really weird because there were a few different weather delays. Ball State, they won by 3. Buffalo, they won by 7. Those are two really bad football teams. They trounced Kent State last week. Good for them. But, man, it is a really fascinating spot. The thing that's difficult for me about this game is, again, Western Michigan's played nobody, but they're really balanced, right? Hayden Wolf's got a 15-3 touchdown interception ratio. They're running for 5.5 yards a carry, whereas Northern Illinois' offense is pathetic. I mean, it's just really, really bad. They've gone with two quarterbacks, Ethan Hampton and Josh Holst. Neither one of them has played particularly well. Antonio Brown's got under 5 yards per carry because nobody worries about the pass. There's a lot of reasons I like Western Michigan in this game, and I did reluctantly bet them. But, man, this line, as you've talked about, is fascinating.
It sure is. Maction, baby.
Let me give you my favorite Maction stat of the week. You ready?
Let's do it. Yeah.
All right. So Kent State. Can't read, can't spell Kent State. So they have an elite wide receiver in Krishan McRae, who probably hits the portal this season, I would think. Really, really good player. Guy who's awesome that you've never heard of. But Tommy Ulatowski, their quarterback. Okay. This is incredible. So he has a 42.6% completion percentage on the season. He has 52 completions. 11 of them are touchdowns. He has an 11-6 touchdown interception ratio with a 42.6% completion percentage. I have never seen a stat line that looks like that in my life. Like, they're averaging 14 yards per reception. They just can't complete passes very well. But 52 completions and 11 touchdown passes for a guy who's objectively not good at playing the position.
Follow him on Twitter at Skating Tripods. Read all of his work at vsin.com, including the midweek write-ups. Maction is here, ladies and gentlemen. The first playoff rankings come out Tuesday night. Curious if we'll get some curveballs thrown our way. Wednesdays with Wes, and then the Thursday podcast with Matt Newman's breaking down the full card of week 11. Mr. Burke, always appreciate it, sir, and we'll talk to you next week.
Have a good one, man.
There he is, Adam Burke. Please rate, review, and subscribe. Thanks, as always, to producer Ryan. I'm Tim Murray. We're back tomorrow on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.